This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
The sleepy little village boasted one modern amenity, one of the finest motor racing tracks in 100 miles, which obviously meant that most villagers took an interest, enforced or otherwise, in this sport. And of course, every village has its character. In this case, it was old Billy Andrews, one of the finest self-taught mechanics who ever wielded a spanner, something he'd been doing since he and motoring had both been in their infancy.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
There you are, Doctor. She'll be running like a sewing machine now.
I'm sure she will, Billy. What is the problem?
Oh, like I thought. You see, there's supposed to be a sort of a clamp at the top here. See? Just under the fuel cap.
If you say so, Billy. Cars are a mystery to me.
Well, every man to his own trade, eh?
I suppose I should know a bit more about it. Can't afford a breakdown on my way to a confinement, eh?
No. And neither can you afford to lose petrol the rate you were doing. Not with the price it is today.
You're right. You were saying about a clamp under the petrol cap.
Yeah. Well, if it worked loose, see? And each time you've got to fill up, pints and pints are missing the pipe here, you see, and running to waste.
Oh, that was what was causing the smell of petrol, too,
yeah,
I suppose.
Of course. And giving you such a high petrol consumption figure. You shouldn't have no more trouble with that now, Doctor.
Oh, Billy, you're a marvel. You know, I took it to the salesman who sold it to me, and I took it to the main dealers, and they never even figured out what the trouble was.
Ah, these modern young chaps don't know nothing that isn't in their books and their pamphlets and all that. Takes an old one like me to have the feel of the machine, you might say.
Billy Andrews, that's the first time I ever heard you admit you're old. Next thing you'll be telling me just how old you are.
Well, seeing as you're my confidential medical advisor, like, I don't mind telling you. Now, how old would you think, eh?
I wouldn't like to guess. 55? Or have I hurt your feelings?
Come off it, Dr. Thompson. You know, don't you, from your notes. Yes, I'll be 74 next Thursday. But don't you let the girls in the village know that. It'll ruin me prospects of a Saturday night.
All right, Billy. I'll keep your secret. Maybe you'll tell me sometime how you stay so young and active. Well, I must be off now and see some patients. Thanks for fixing the car.
Oh, I'll walk you to the entrance, Doctor. Oh, shall we be seeing you on Saturday at the circuit?
Oh, Billy, afraid not. I don't understand motor racing the way you fans do. Just a lot of cars whizzing about. I'd sooner read a good book in the garden.
You must let me lend you some books sometime.
Oh, I've seen your library, Billy. Memoirs of racing drivers, technical stuff, histories of famous cars. It'll bore me stiff. I can't make head nor tail of that.
Yeah, it's a good thing for you. I do read that sort of thing in it, though. And the rest of the village. If I didn't know my business, they'd all come to a dead stop or start knocking the trees down to their faces like as not.
And now they're on the starters' orders. There goes the flag. They're off to a Le Mans start. I can see the Italian drivers leading the pack as they make for their cars. And you'll all be glad to know Sir Henry Topham was third into the seat. The French entry is getting a bit of a push there. Can't quite see who's having trouble either. The first far off. And now they're away apart from the Frenchman. I think you'll have a penalty there. They're up the straight now, coming into the first bend. It was a fair start too. Now I'll switch you to the microphone on the first corner.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. 4 cents. Take these stamps, please. It's nearly over now.
His color's good, Doctor.
Oh, yes. I think he'll survive, all right.
Can I tell the people you ring up?
Sutures. Thank you. Uh-huh. Hmm? Oh, I suppose there's a lot of local interest.
Switchboard says she's never worked so hard. Even the newspapers have been on to her.
Well, I suppose that if a village is a racing hero like Sir Henry, it's going to arouse interest when he crashes.
Will the leg be all right, Doctor?
Oh, I think so. He's a hardy young man. I might say foolhardy, but I suppose it's none of my business how he throws his money away.
So long as he doesn't throw his life away, too, I suppose.
Doctor. Yes, I could have added that, yes. Thank heaven he didn't run into the spectators.
Shall I finish the stitching up for you? There's the other driver to see to.
All right, sister. He got out even more lightly. Still, there may be some concussion. I'll have a look at the x-rays while you finish Sir Henry, shall I?
Very good, Doctor. And I'll tell Switchboard you're not to be disturbed. I expect there'll be a lot of interest until Sir Henry's driving again. People are asking what made him crash, although I still think it was a mechanical fault.
I suppose it was. And that's a strange thing, because there's been far too many traffic accidents in this village lately. It is a bit puzzling when you think what a small village this is, having so many accidents.
Oh, come in, Dr. Thompson.
Oh, sorry I didn't come in sooner. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling much better, thanks to you. Sister told me the leg was a bit mashed up.
That's not a very medical term, Sir Henry. Let's say there were compound fractures involving the neck of the femur. But I think we got it all sorted out.
Well, I'd be on my pins in time for the Brooklands.
Well, I'm sorry to admit to you that I don't even know when that is.
Yes, of course. We racing fans tend to assume that everyone shares the addiction. Second Saturday in June. What are my chances?
Perhaps we should wait until we get the cast off before raising your hopes, Sir Henry.
Oh, sounds as cheerful as I could have expected. Look, I'm terribly grateful to you.
No, never mind that. You just concentrate on getting your rest, do what Sister tells you, and stay off your leg, all right?
It's going to be a bore, stuck here for months. I've always been an active sort of chap, Doctor.
I was told you wanted your collection of military bits and pieces brought in.
Yes, yes. Would you mind?
No, I don't mind if it takes your mind off being stuck in bed. Provided you don't start walking about or exhausting yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll tell my man to bring them over. Just the albums, you know. I'm always behind in sticking in the photos and writing captions. I won't have him bring the weapons in. Not even to protect me from that matron of yours.
Yes, she is a bit fearsome, isn't she? Oh, for your own good, you know. I expect that's for me.
I do hope it's not another newspaper reporter. Hello? Yes, he's here. You were right, Doctor.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Dr. Thompson. Yes. I see. All right, you'd better put some cots in the hall, then. Tell the blood transfusion people and ring the police. Yes, I said the police. Ring the police and ask them to get the county hospital to talk to me. I need at least another surgeon to help me. And pull yourself together, girl. When a school bus crashes, that's just the time when your training should tell.
Great. Scott, Doctor, the school bus.
Yes, and when you've done that, call in all the nurses who are off duty. I don't care where they are. We've got an emergency on our hands.
All right. Can we have some quiet, please? We are in a hospital after all. We never get anywhere if we descend to personalities and bickering.
Well, tell him to take back what he said about the racetrack. I'll not stand for talk like that, you know.
Mr. Andrews, you've all come to visit me here so that we can investigate these traffic accidents. What happens on the racetrack may be relevant.
Yes, yeah, I say it has everything to do with it.
Now, you wait until you're asked to speak.
Please, both of you.
Well, I still say that having a racetrack right outside the village is helping to cause these accidents.
How do you make that out?
You've only got to see them come past my house after a meeting. All of them fancying themselves another Sterling Moss or Jackie Stewart or something. Oh, I blame the racetrack every time.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I do.
Hold on, Billy, old chap. Mr. Watterby may have a point. Dr. Thompson, would you care to comment?
Well, I agree that Mr. Watterby may have a point. Watching a race meeting often does encourage the spectators to drive home with unnecessary flamboyance.
There you are, Billy Andrews. Even the doctor agrees with me.
Now, please, the doctor is speaking.
However, if all of us involved in the management of the village are here to discuss the great many traffic accidents in this village,
Almost all of them have occurred well away from the racetrack outside, and on days of the week far removed from racing days. The statistics are there. You can't explain them by blaming the racetrack. And you can't cure the position by ignoring the facts.
Ah. So put that in your pipe and smoke it while you water me.
Oh, now, please, please, quiet, Billy. I suggest we accept what Dr. Thompson says. There have been far more accidents in this village than ever before. Far more than the amount of traffic warrants. We've got to find the cause so that we can cure it. We've got to find out why all these accidents are happening.
Come in.
There's someone to see you, Sir Henry. Will you take a visitor?
A visitor? Who is it?
It's a Mr. Peterson. He says you'll be sure to see him. He used to work for you.
Peterson? He used to be my mechanic. Yes, show him in, sister.
You can go in now, Mr. Peterson.
Come in, Peterson. Thank you, sister.
She said you was in bed. You couldn't be seen, she said.
Never mind that, Peterson. You wanted something?
No, not really. I wanted to tell you something.
Well, go ahead, then. I'm listening.
Is it all right if I sit down, I suppose?
Certainly.
But it won't take long. I just wanted to tell you I'm working for Mr. Margison now.
Yes, I know. I'm glad you got fixed up so well.
Oh, you're not. He was hoping I'd never work again. All those years as your mechanic and then turned out on a minute's notice.
Now, look here, Peterson. I don't want to go through all that again. I'm not completely fit and I'd be glad...
Now, I'll not keep you long. I just wanted to say you did me an injustice, firing me like that, right after your accident.
That is for me to say. I'd never had a prang before. You were in charge of the pit. I made no driving error. It was obviously your fault.
But it weren't my fault, I swear it. That car was in perfect condition when me and the lads pushed it out from the start. Oh, she'd run as sweet as a bird when we tested her.
And Peterson, I wish I could say I was sorry. I appreciated all your help. But when I think what could have happened...
Well, sir, I did come round to try to convince you it weren't my fault. I can see you can't be persuaded. But I reckon you was most unfair.
I was unfair?
Aye.
I was? Who's sitting with a leg in the plaster cast? Who went into that corner at speed and found the car out of control? Who could have got killed? Or killed who knows how many spectators?
Well, there's no point in all
that. Now, look here, Peterson. I've had enough of your whining and complaining. I've had time to think here, and I think it's very strange that you went straight from my employ to a job with Margison's, my leading competitor.
I'm a first-rate mechanic. Nothing strange about it at all.
Isn't there? And isn't it strange that just before you go to them, I'm in the first pile-up of my career?
Well, that's slander. That's libel. You can't tell me that I doctored your car and made it crash. You can't prove that.
Ah, rubbish. No one who inspected the car after the crash could ever have found what you'd done to it. You knew he was safe then. Don't talk to me about slander and punter about legal matters you don't understand. It's I that should be calling in the law. And there's only one reason why I've held my hand this long, Peterson. I wanted to see the connection between you and all the other traffic accidents in this village. I was giving you enough rope to see when you'd hang yourself.
What did he say to that, Sir Henry?
For a minute, I thought he was going to strike me. It would be just about his mark. A man in hospital with a gammy leg and no means of protection.
I'm not so sure, you know.
Not sure of what?
Well, after all those years of faithful service to you, it does seem odd that he should suddenly let you down. To the point of possibly bringing about your death, I mean.
Well, we don't know what Margison's paid him. I was the most likely one to beat them this year. With me out of the way, they've gone from strength to strength. Peterson has the effrontery to suggest it's because they have his valuable services in the pits.
Sir Henry, if your crash had been an accident, would Peterson's standard of technical ability have made a big difference to these Margisons?
Oh, Doctor, it's a bit of a hypothetical question, isn't it? Well, if you look at it on that level, yes. He's an outstanding man. He's really brilliant at his job.
As good as our own Billy Andrews, you mean?
Oh, you've had Billy Andrews in the brain lately, haven't you? You're being very mysterious, Dr. Thompson. Getting me out of my wheelchair, driving me over to Billy's garage like this.
Am I?
Yes, you jolly well are. I can't make it out. You pay me a professional visit. I show you some of my military photographs. And all of a sudden you look all... Well, mysterious, Doctor. Haul me into the car to call on Billy Andrews. Very mysterious, I call it.
Well, forgive me. I didn't mean to mystify you. Quite the reverse. I rather think that calling on old Billy Andrews may not create a mystery at all, Sir Henry. It's my belief that we'll find the solution to quite a few mysteries there. Indeed, I hope so.
Well, Sir Henry, it's glad to see you on your feet again at last.
How's the old bus been getting on, Billy? I see you've got her wrapped up in plastic. Good idea, this rain about.
Was there much damage to put right, Billy?
Oh, it nearly broke me hard to see the mess she was in after Sir Henry's prime. After all the loving care I'd given her for so long.
You know, I only recently found out that Sir Henry kept his car here between races. I suppose he... The car had a special lock-up of her own?
I should think so, Doctor. Billy treats her like his very own, don't you, Billy? Never lets one of his apprentices lay a finger on her.
Aye. A thoroughbred like that, she deserves all the coddling I can give her.
Sir Henry, you surely have a garage to spare up at the manor house?
Oh, certainly. But I don't have the tools and equipment that his garage has.
And Sir Henry knows I'll give her 24 hours attention if she needs it. Where? If he took on a mechanic up at the manor house, he'd have to pay her through the nose.
I understand. So you'll do for love what another man wouldn't do for money, is that it, Billy?
It's nice of you to say so, Doctor. Flatsy will fit you anywhere, eh? Well, this isn't a social call. Now, what's the matter with that hard-driven old peg of yours, Doctor?
I don't really know, Billy. That's why I've come to you. Would you mind giving her a once over? I'll go and get her. I see, I'm calling a car her now, just like you racing lunatics do.
I don't think the doctor will ever be a racing fan, eh, Billy?
Just don't have any feeling for a car, do we? Well, it takes all sorts. How soon will we be back on the track, Sir Henry? Customers is always asking me that.
The doctor says I'll be a few weeks yet, Billy. Very cautious man, Dr. Thompson.
Aye, I know. But that's the only way to be sure, isn't it?
Well... Let's go and look at what he's done to that poor old Jalopy of his this time, shall we?
I'll just go and get a couple of spanners.
People, you direct me.
Billy's gone to get some spanners, Doctor. There's a nasty squeak you're getting from somewhere.
Sir Henry, I'd be obliged if you didn't mention that to Billy.
What? Not mention it. Why on earth not?
Never mind. Here he is now. Just don't say anything about it, all right?
Well, if you say so, I...
Well, now, let's see what you've done to this poor, tortured, dumb beastie, Doctor. It's about time you traded this in for a real car, and that's certain. Yes. She could do with a real clean-up for a start, so I can see what I'm up to. Now, why don't you and Sir Henry nip along to Mrs. Craddle's for a pot of tea while I get on with it? There's nothing obviously wrong... But I'll find out what's wanted if I'm left alone to get on with it.
I'm very much afraid that there we have the answer to all our mysteries, Sir Henry.
I don't follow, Doctor. You mean you deliberately loosened the bracket supporting the gear cable?
Yes. When I went out to fetch the car and left you talking with Billy for a second...
Well, what on earth for? What are you up to, Doctor?
Well, I don't know much about cars, of course, but when that happened accidentally a couple of years ago, it set up a high-pitched squeaking noise. So I simply loosened it on purpose and it made the same noise again.
Yes, it would, of course. I heard it immediately.
Yes, I know you did. But did you notice? Billy didn't seem to hear it at all. I'm pretty sure that if he had heard it, he would have remarked on it straight away, just as you did.
Yes, that would be the natural thing to do for any mechanically minded person, as soon as he heard it.
Sir Henry, I asked you to bring two photographs from your collection with you.
I've got them here. Do you want to see them again?
Yes. See? See here? They both show the old 12-pounder gun. When you showed me the first, you asked if I could guess who was the young man standing in front of the metal plate around the barrel.
You're quite right. That plate is called the gun shield. And you couldn't guess the young soldier half a century ago was our own Billy Andrews.
Yes, that's it. And this is a later photograph of the same type of gun.
Yes, was in service for many years. This picture was taken 12 years after the one with Billy.
Now, I notice that the gunners are all in front of the gun shield in the first picture and behind it in the later one.
Can you tell me why that is?
Oh, this is quite simple. The medical officers of that time insisted on moving the men behind the shield.
Yes, very wise. Obviously, firing the gun would set up very loud explosions, which would be intensified by that gun shield. Soldiers standing in front of it would risk serious damage to their hearing.
Their hearing, Doctor? Oh, I begin to see. You mean that old Billy...
Yes, that's right. You see, people tend to think that deafness is a very obvious complaint. Complete deafness is, of course, always obvious, but it is perfectly possible for a delicate structure of the ear to be partially damaged or partially malformed from birth, or even for old age to affect part of the sense of hearing.
Yes, indeed, I can see that.
And isn't it evident that Billy Andrews has lost the ability to hear high-pitched sounds? He didn't hear the squeaking in my engine. It's quite possible, after all, that Billy can hear all other sounds perfectly well, but consider what this may mean in terms of his profession. Just the top register missing.
What's his profession got to do with it, Doctor?
Well, any experienced man can hear what's wrong with an engine. His sense of hearing may be as important to him as mine is when I listen to your chest. If my hearing is not quite perfect, I could miss some important clues to diagnosis. And the same is true, in a way, of a garage mechanic.
Of course. Now that you mention it, it's perfectly obvious.
I suppose that whatever was wrong with your car before you crashed could have made a sound which was high-pitched.
Yes, yes, indeed. We might have heard it if we'd been in this garage. But the amount of noise from the other pits at the racetrack would have stopped Peterson and everybody else from noticing.
Well, that I couldn't say, but I certainly think you may owe Mr. Peterson an apology.
Story has a happy ending. They were able to persuade old Billy Andrews to give up his garage, and the accident rate dropped very sharply with fewer faulty cars on the road. Gus Peterson, well, he returned to work very happily with Sir Henry Topham, and together they achieved many triumphs on the racetrack. But you know, I often think back on that curious set of affairs. It seems so strange when thinking of a garage man that his ears maybe among the tools of his trade.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.